Welcome to Season 7 of the HPS Cast. I'm your host, Colbert Cannon. If you're new to the pod, HPS is a global investment firm. We manage approximately $95 billion in assets for a broad range of institutional and retail investors. That capital is invested across private credit and public credit strategies. Each week, I sit down with key relationships to, partners of, and friends of the firm to learn from their experience, ask how that experience shapes their current roles, and give insights into HPS and how we operate. So with that, let's bring in our guest. Our guest this week is the CEO and general manager of the real estate business for one of the world's leading and largest insurance companies. He was educated at University of Padua and Bocconi University and has had a career focused on real estate from his home country of Italy. He spent over a decade at the real estate firm Beni Stabili, where he eventually became their CEO, before joining Generali in 2017 as the CEO of their real estate business. In 2021, he assumed further leadership as the head of private markets and real assets for Generali Asset and Wealth Management. He and his firm have been investors with and supporters of HPS for some time, and we're grateful for their partnership. So without any further ado, I'm honored to welcome in this week's HPS Cast guest, Aldo Mazzocco, CEO of Real Estate at Generali. Aldo, welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
Well, Aldo, it's a pleasure to have you here. I like to start from the very beginning. Where are you from originally? Where did you grow up, Aldo?
I come from the northeast of Italy, from the Dolomites, but I was born in Zimbabwe. My father was an immigrant. Then I moved to Padova, where my family is today, after the graduation and after the MBA in Bocconi University. The purpose was to be in a middle-sized Italian city, and I've been working in the last 25 years between Milan and Paris.
Why was business and specifically real estate the focus area? What initially attracted you to that space?
To be honest, I haven't been attracted by real estate. I started as a general manager of a building construction company of Italy, a rather large one. For a series of coincidences, I've been general manager at 29 years old, so very, very young. After 4 years, a terrible crisis coming across in Italy, the famous Tangentopoli time. So I gathered around me industrial companies and so on, and I started a pure development real estate activity, highly risky. At the time, I was not in an insurance group, so high IRR and high risk. This happened in 2004. In 2001, I perceived a change of the environment. I realized Italy was entering European Union and the euro currency. So the macroeconomic environment was changing dramatically. New players, new investors, new people. And so I asked my shareholders to buy a listed company. And we bought a relevant stake in Beni Stabili in Rome, a listed company.
So tell me about that. Like, what kind of deals were you doing? Like, what was that business for listeners less familiar?
So the equity story of Beni Stabili has been moving from less than 2 billion euro assets up to a 4.4 billion euro portfolio before merging with Foncier de Région and creating what today is Covivio. And the first 3-4 years has been a dominantly trading activity, buying portfolios. As you can imagine, having changed the currency and having attracted a lot of foreign capitals, the sector has been exciting. And so buying portfolios, splitting the portfolio in three to keep the core assets on the balance sheet, transforming a part of them and disposing immediately another part. This very dynamic activity increased the portfolio. We went across the Lehman Brothers crisis, the Italian sovereign debt crisis, and then the credit crunch crisis, the triple dip of Italy. But at the end, the loan to value didn't move 1 point, and we have been paying dividends every year.
Let's talk about that, because it is a track record that is enviable. You guys did quite well. How? You know, how did you manage through those crises when others obviously got very wrong-footed? Like, how did you actually do that?
I grew in a very pioneeristic area of real estate in the northeast of Italy with industrial shareholders. So when they provided the capital in the private equity vehicle, they said only one thing: please don't lose this money. If you are able to take out profit, that would be fantastic. But first of all, don't lose this money. And that approach is still in my mind. So when I perceived that the market was changing, I think you have the feeling of something going wrong, not when stupid people are doing stupid things. But when highly reputed professionals are doing stupid things, the market will collapse. For instance, I reduced in 2007, April, I reduced the loan to value from 63% down to 49%. I remember the reaction on the US market when I did my annual roadshow. They said, you are sleeping on our equity, you are losing our animal spirit, you are getting old, it's time to remove you. But I resisted, convinced that a 50% loan to value was enough, but necessary.
Yeah.
And in fact, it worked very well in March 2021. At the end of the year, I was experiencing a crazy gold rush to private assets. So everybody asking for private assets, for illiquid assets. I said, hey guys, this, did you ever experience a liquidity crisis? Do you know what it is? You know, you're collapsing in few hours. And even in the universe of my colleagues, especially the youngest ones, say, but you know, what are you worried about? I said, no, but this is too much. It's too much. So at some point, it seems I was stupid because I was receiving capitals and I was saying, no, it's too much. To keep discipline when the others are losing their mind, I think is the key. And having the family still in the northeast of Italy is very useful because when you are in a financial environment like Milan or London or Paris, you know, we excite each other, no? So, okay. You know, we raise 1.5 billion and we raise 3 billion, we raise 5 billion. And we are buying logistics at 3.2. Oh my God. And going back to the Northeast where the life is still very, very, it's like in the countryside of England, you decompress. And so during the weekend, you get normal again.
You spent about 15 years at Benestabile, and in 2017, you joined Generali. First, for our listeners who are less familiar, tell us about Generali in itself. Tell us about your business as a whole.
Generali in Italy is like the monarchy in UK. When you move to France, it's a highly reputed group. When you move to Germany, just a bit less than in France. And, you know, progressively, you lose your relevance. So you are the Vatican in Italy, but then you become, a normal company. I would say the specificity of this experience is when I joined the group, my boss was Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan was in charge of creating an asset management inside the group, an asset management managing internal capitals and external capital. So totally a brand new strategy. And real estate at that time was one of the pillars of this strategy. When I joined the Generali in 2017, the group were investing 300 million euros of equity in real estate. Last year, we invested close to 3 billion. So what I did has been moving from 190 years of strong reputation in real estate and strong reputation on the financial market, moving from relevant portfolio of assets, 26 billion at that time, mostly in Europe, but with, you know, imbalance among the different countries. I decided simply to put order in this environment. Today we have 38 billion. Half of this portfolio are in pan-European funds, specialized funds doing only one business, managed by the same regulated entity with regular appraisal. When I told my boss, I have finished the first phase of my work. He said, okay, now you move to private equity, private debt, and infrastructure. I said,
right. Well, yeah, no good deed goes unpunished, Aldo. Well, I don't want to lose the thread. I mean, you said this, but I want to emphasize the 190 years. You know, Generali was founded in 1831. So it has the kind of real estate holdings that you can only have if you've been investing over those generations. And the effort to take that legacy business and transform it into what it is today is a massive enterprise that you guys have been successful at. I'm always interested, Aldo, in how senior leaders manage their own time. Your job is by definition global. You generally invest everywhere. How do you manage your time as a leader between investing, you're managing people, you're traveling to different offices? How do you prioritize that?
First of all, I'm a general, the kind of Erving Rommel or George Patton. So I like to stay on the tank with the soldiers. I like to share with them the operation life. So I'm delegating them the business, but I'm ready to support every time they have problems and so on. Honestly, I work a lot, but when I'm working with my team, I'm working on business, I'm working on deals, adrenaline is really supporting me.
So you're in your CEO seat for several years, and you've weathered, as you said, in your career, many crises, but suddenly COVID hits, and shutdowns and remote work affected us all personally, but obviously directly impacts a real estate portfolio. How did you manage through the immediate impact of COVID, and how does that affect, if at all, your views on real estate generally as an investment?
Now, first of all, thank you, because your questions are very interesting.
Thank you.
It has been another, you know, discontinuity in my life. I felt sick of COVID on the 15th of March, 2020, one of the first in Italy.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yes. I remember I sent my team, I go home because I probably I'm COVID affected and I need to quit. I went to the hospital and to be honest, I've been sure to die for 5-6 days. And so I did a sort of balance sheet of my life. I wrote to my wife, we will never see again, unfortunately. Thank you very much. And this is what I'm happy about and what I did. 3 days after I went back to my bedroom, I remained segregated 56 days in a bedroom. But I've been asked by the board of directors of the group to explain what is happening now, which will be the impact of COVID, what we can do. I remember one member of the board said, probably offices and retail will never be necessary anymore. So it's better we exit from the sector. They said, I would like to remember we have 22 billion of them. And it's like telling Coca-Cola not to produce any more soft drink or something. Yeah. But fortunately, three crisis experience I experienced in the past, thanks to my country, very rich of crisis moment. So it's a sort of training field. I had clear idea what to do. And what I said is we have 350 people in the real estate team. Now, all of them, even the lawyers, even the fiscal advisors and so on, are contacting our 3,100 commercial tenants we have. We provided immediately relief to the ones suffering, for instance, restaurants, hotel, and so on. You know, saying, don't worry, you will pay next year the rents, you know, we make you free for two, and so on. That's reinforced the relationship, create loyalties. After 2 years, we didn't suffer any renegotiation, any increase of vacancy, and so on. Today, I'm experiencing something similar with this, you know, explosion of inflation, what will happen, increase of interest rates, cap rates, and so on. Let me say that at the end, and again, going to the long year of double-digit inflation we experience in Italy, when you have inflation, real estate is a good investment. I think the trick I can teach to the young colleagues we have here is look around, be ready to perceive the change of the environment, because real assets are very slow to be dismissed and so on. When you perceive something wrong, get prudent, reduce your financial exposure, don't panic, and do only a few things. What is important is having created a very simple business model. As you know, complex things become very, very complex during a crisis.
We're recording this in the first quarter of 23. We've had unsettled markets with inflation and rates both up significantly globally. Your existing collection of real estate assets, you own some incredible trophy business. Like, those are fine. Those are great in an inflationary environment. But how do you manage new investments and new developments for real estate in this kind of rate environment? Where are you spending your time these days?
First of all, we are just a bit reducing the investments in order to preserve firepower. Because I think at the end of this shock, we will find some opportunistic deals. And so now we are ready for a new acquisition season, probably in 2024. Then last year, we invested in logistics. We have a European logistics fund, close to 900 million euros of size. But we invested only on geographical footprint purpose. The portfolio was unbalanced in Italy and France. So we entered in Netherlands with one investment, in Poland with two, in Germany with one, and so on. But not following the, you know, the crazy passion for logistics at 3.4%. In fact, immediately, logistics repriced 100 basis points because at the end, it's very close to infrastructure. The trend is still good, but has been very prudent not to invest too much.
Well, it's going to be some fun stuff for you. You mentioned private credit. You know, you took over 2 years ago running the private markets for Generali Wealth Management. Your firm has been a thoughtful investor in private credit as a core strategy. What do you like about that asset class in this kind of environment in particular?
To be honest, last year, the group was pushing a lot on private debt because the group identified private debt as the solution to the no returns from govies and fixed income investment grade. So 3 days after being appointed, I've been asked to, you know, invest billions and billions, having no infrastructure for that. So we created the Fund of Fund 3 with a specific procedure in order to deploy big tickets to big players. And we have been able to commit more than 4 billion in 6 months at the end of the day. And that has been the first move. Created a small team specialized in selecting asset managers like you. In parallel, we are now ready for a direct lending Europe fund. What I imagine is doing direct lending mid-market in Europe as a first phase for Generali, and we have the competencies, the control function, but also the spirit to attack this market. And obviously, we need at least 3 years of track record for any strategy, because we are using the Generali brand. We need to be close to perfection, because the brand of the lion is 192 years old.
Well, it comes back to the point you started with. Your investors gave you the money and said, don't lose it. You know, like, yes. It's the same spirit. Well, listen, always interesting to hear what you're up to, Aldo. And then again, we at HPS sincerely appreciate the Generali partnership. It's exciting stuff. With that, I want to move then to the last segment of the podcast, which is something we like to call Best Ideas. It's where we offer up something that's added value in our lives recently. We call it Best Ideas because it's our goal as investors to always maximize exposure to those. Aldo, you're our guest. I'm going to ask you to go first. What is your best idea this week?
I don't know if it's an idea. It's what I'm saying in the corridors. This year, we need to invent the year. Past years has been based on budget and 3 years plan and so on. I think 2023 is better to be managed tactically. Let me say the Italian way. No, Italians are really smart to adapt to any change of environment, because our country is a mess. So you need to invent every time something. And this is the year for this approach. Okay, we have budget and plans and so on, but I think volatility will be present also in geopolitical scenarios. So which is the best idea is to keep the eyes open, ears very clean, no headphone, and ready to adapt.
I love that. 2023 as a year of invention. That is the best idea. Well, Aldo, for my side then, as listeners know, I like to be inspired by the guests of the week. And Aldo, as you heard, lives outside of Venice. And so my best idea this week is simply a travel destination, which is I cannot recommend going to Venice more highly. I've been many times to your great city, all the way back as part of my honeymoon 23 years ago in a couple months, and more recently with my wife and 3 kids. And every time I go, I always leave wanting to come back as soon as possible. At a time when globalization means on international trips, you sort of see the same storefronts and chains that you have in your home country, I think Venice stands alone as a truly unique and wonderful city. The history is obvious and evident, but it's also a remarkable food city. I still think about my last meal at Antiche Carambane, which I thought was amazing. It's this incredible art scene. The Venice Guggenheim is a must visit. And as the time I went with younger children, it's maybe the only city in Italy where you can walk with young kids without constantly dodging cars, motorcycles, and scooters. It's a city too where, and this is sobering, but you know, climate change is of course a real threat to it. And so I do think going now where over time it may be fundamentally impacted, it's important. So in honor of a great Italian with roots not far outside, let me submit for my best idea this week, the wonderful town of Venice for your next vacation. Aldo, advice for first-time visitors to Venice.
As you know, we completed the fantastic restoration of the Procuratie Vecchie, the oldest site of San Marco Square. The last floor now is the headquarters of Human Safety Net, our philanthropic organization to help people. A fantastic place I love of Venice is the Cathedral of Santi Giovanni e Paolo. In Venetian language is San Zanipolo. It's 15 minutes from San Marco Square, and inside you breathe the history of the city.
I love it. All right. With that, Aldo, it's time to wrap up for the week. You and your firm's support has been fantastic. We are honored to be stewards of capital for you. Look forward to catching up live again soon.
Thank you. Thank you for your attention. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to our guest, Aldo Mazzocco. Check out our show notes to learn more about Aldo and his firm, Generali. You'll also find a link to learn more about Generali's philanthropic housing initiative, the Human Safety Net. As a bonus, its headquarters are located in the oldest portion of Venice's San Marco Square, now open to the public for the first time in 500 years after an ambitious restoration led by Generali. Yet another reason to visit the great city, which was my best idea this week. This podcast is brought to you by Atwill Media with HPS Investment Partners. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. The opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the host, Colbert Cannon, and the guest of each episode, and do not necessarily reflect the views of HPS Investment Partners.